You're listening to Central Time here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up later, we'll talk to a reporter about today's public hearings on a pair of bills that would alter funding for Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin.
First, a look at a growing obsession with food. Not just cooking it and eating it, but watching other people cook it, sharing pictures of it online, and more.
And there's been growing interest in what's in our food as people go gluten-free or vegan to avoid foods that use GMOs.
Either way, our guest says Americans, and especially younger people, have developed, in effect, an obsession with food.
We're joined now by Eve Turow to talk about this growing food obsession. Eve is the author of the book A Taste of Generation Yum, How a Generation's Love for Organic Fare, Celebrity Chefs, and Microbrews Will Make or Break the Future of Food. Eve, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Eve, when did you first start to pick up on this, what you call an obsession with food among young people, specifically the millennial generation?
It really was about 4 years ago when I moved to New York City, and here is like the highest infusion of food obsession. And really looked up one day and just thought to myself, what the heck is going on here?
And what did you see people doing that struck you as is different than how people had related to food over the last decade or so?
Right. Well, so what I began to realize is that young people today are using food in the way that our parents once used rock and roll or drugs. We're using food as a form of self-identification, as a way to express our values. So things that I think our parents don't, that we do that our parents think doesn't make any sense are things like, using money for truffle cheese when we really should be paying rent, or paying for a high-end dinner out. Things like that that are kind of totally new to this generation. On top of that, we're taking pictures of what we eat and posting it online. There's a great question of why are we interested in looking at pictures of someone else's lunch?
Right, and you mentioned a woman that you spoke to who called her frozen yogurt store every day to see what the change in flavors was.
Exactly. So I was getting my MFA at the new school, sitting in class, and a peer of mine pulls out her phone and is explaining that the flavors change every day at this frozen yogurt shop. And she had programmed the number for the frozen yogurt shop into her phone. And it was really this moment of, wow, like this is more than a trend. This is something that people are really caring about, that they are involving in their everyday. And you're seeing it from things as simple as calling a frozen yogurt shop to giving up your life in an urban center to go out and become a craft brewer or a cheesemonger.
So I guess the question you're getting at here is why is this happening? I mean, it's a new phenomenon, but what is going on here that you see with this particular generation that is taking this food interest to another level?
Exactly. So the group of people that I'm looking at here is specifically the millennial generation, which graduated into the recession. We currently owe $1 trillion in student loan debt, and we're also the first generation to be raised with technology. So there are a lot of questions about why we would be spending our discretionary income on something that's as ephemeral as food. And there's lots of different trends that will tell you that food culture is proliferating, but no one's really looked at the why. What is it about food that is satisfying to us as a generation? And that's really where I tried to dig in a little bit deeper and get to the underlying motivations. And what I found is that it really comes down to food as the anti-technology. We are the first generation that's raised in the digital era. So we had one foot in and one foot out. I grew up learning the Dewey Decimal System, but at the same time also learning how to create a really great PowerPoint. And today we're lamenting, what is the effect of being in front of a screen? And no one was looking at where young people today are truly different than all generations before. And it really boils down to our affinity of food. So food is offering us a few key things that are, to me, the anti-technology. Food is offering us the ability to gather with people in a community setting. We're putting down our phones when we're eating. Granted, we are taking the obligatory, beauty shot of whatever we're eating and then putting the phone down. But really using time with food to engage with other people. It's also allowing for sensory stimulation. A lot of us are spending times connected to our devices and not receiving the kind of stimulation that we're craving so much. During a lot of my research, I've heard people talking about a craving for the tangible, for something they could really feel and see and taste and smell. Food, as I mentioned before, is also providing a new way for young people to identify themselves. We're expressing our values by not just what we buy, but when we then take a picture of and post online. So if you're buying some organic kale, that's saying that you care about the environment, that you're an educated eater, and that you care about your own health. And then we're also using food as a means of control. one of the more interesting findings throughout the years of talking to millennials and luminaries in the food world is that a lot of young people today feel incredibly out of control. Growing up in the digital age has led us to an area where there are a whole new set of worries that young people have to deal with. A little bit of a confusion. You know, I don't really know how my iPhone works. I don't really know how the internet works. I don't really know if I've been hacked. And it's creating a sense of instability. Food allows you to break something down into its parts, whether that's breaking down a recipe or breaking down a whole cow.
We're talking right now to Eve Turow. She's the author of the book, A Taste of Generation Yum, How a Generation's Love for Organic Fare, Celebrity Chefs, and Microbrews Will Make or Break the Future of Food. And let's talk a little bit about the issue of control. That was kind of an interesting one to dig into. For one thing, you said the millennial generation doesn't feel that sense of control and that food is one thing that can be controlled. And you even spoke with a woman who had formerly been anorexic earlier in her life and got the same pleasure from really digging deep into her obsession with food and what she chose to eat now as she did when she was anorexic.
Exactly. And really, that interview really struck a chord with me and made me dig a little bit deeper to see if what she had experienced was true among other populations. And today we're seeing a proliferation of food restrictions. So paleo, vegan, flexitarian, locavore, gluten-free is huge. We're seeing it everywhere. But the question really is, you know, why? Why are people suddenly identifying themselves by their diet? Why are they so excited by restricting food? Or satisfied by restricting food? And while it can be difficult for some people to grapple with, there is a huge amount of evidence that really choosing what you eat and limiting what you eat does provide the same kind of emotional satisfaction as some other eating disorders. It's well known that if you're choosing not to eat, that a lot of the time that is associated with a need for control. This particular subject was expressing that same need for control as being satisfied by choosing just to eat local or just to eat organic. And in my research, I found that that was particularly true as well in the gluten-free community.
Now, when you talk about that aspect, it doesn't sound quite as healthy, but what about the overarching look at this, the bird's eye view? Is this a good thing that we're seeing, this obsession with food among millennials?
You know, I really do think that it is something that's healthy. Of course, you know, there is the flip side to this. But all in all, if people are educating themselves more about what they eat, I think it's a great thing. So even if it's done for superficial reasons or as a self-soothing reason, the matter of fact is that people are really investing a lot of time into learning about who's producing their food, how it's produced, what is the nutritional value of that. And I think that food is going to be one of the key issues that we as a generation face in terms of the environment, in terms of agriculture. So we are more and more educated about where our food comes from, how it's made, how it's distributed, and no matter how we're engaging, I think it's a great thing.
Well, and I guess that's the thing. Has it translated into an interest in the politics of food and the policies surrounding food? Or is it right now almost a fetishization that is healthy and that it brings you together with other people? It's a sensory input that might be lacking. But has it translated to broader things beyond the individual person?
Right. Well, so that's one of the biggest questions that, to be honest, I'm still grappling with. So we are seeing the largest population ever of students that are entering food studies programs, which I think is fantastic. So if you look at the statistics of schools that are offering food studies options, it's grown so much over the last 10 years. So we have a lot of people that are thinking more about the policy side of things. But, you know, I posed this question. I ended up talking to Michael Pollan for the my own book. And he's very revered in kind of the foodie world. And I asked him, you know, what do you think is really going to happen? And his true response was, no matter what, if you're thinking more about what you eat, that's going to translate and proliferate, right? So if you're concerned about eating gluten-free or only local, once these young millennials are having kids, it's more likely that they're not going to be giving their kids the same processed foods that we were given, and that hopefully this attention to what we're eating and how it's grown is going to continue along, and that all these fabulous students who are in food studies programs will kind of, you know, take that flag and march us forward to a better food future in the United States.
And is it just millennials, or did you find any evidence that this was being translated to older people, too?
I think that whatever millennials are doing is bound to affect other generations. So we're one quarter of the U.S. population, one third of the global population, and we have immense buying power. And I think that the way that millennials are spending their money and spending their time is starting to affect a number of things outside of just food. It's affecting, the workplace and transportation and food delivery systems, all of these different things. So I really do believe that it is centered in the millennial generation and now the younger centennials or Gen Z. They're really kind of picking up where we've left off and are even more in some ways food obsessed. And I think that our interest is just influencing our parents and the people that are kind of looking on, and it's influencing what businesses are offering.
We're talking right now with food writer Eve Turow about her new book, which focuses on how younger generations are shaping the world of food. Her new book is called A Taste of Generation Yum.
And we want to hear from you. Are you hearing your story? Are you, whether you're a millennial or not, thinking more about what you eat lately, being more selective? Do you watch people cooking on TV? Is it fun? What does that do for you? And why do you think the obsession with posting pictures or recipes online has developed in the past few years? Do you think this interest in food is here to stay or just a passing fad? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue our discussion on the changing nature of food in just a few minutes. But first, a check of the latest headlines with Kristen Durst.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation about the growing obsession with food among the millennial generation. And we want you to join us. Have you developed a food passion or obsession like this recently? Do you find yourself being more picky these days about where your food comes from or maybe how it's made? And why do you think food has gained so much popularity recently? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave us a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
Eve Turow stays with us. Her new book is A Taste of Generation Yum, How a Generation's Love for Organic Fare, Celebrity Chefs, and Microbrews Will Make or Break the Future of Food.
We go to our callers now. We've got Jonah on the line in London. Hi there.
Hi, it's Jonah. But anyway, I was just saying that I'm in my 50s, and ever since I can remember, I've always gardened. I learned how to can, done everything pretty basically when I had the opportunity. I raised a lot of my own meat products. It was kind of, it was economical for me. My children in their 20s and 30s have always had an obsession with taking pictures of food from, like, back with the film cameras. They are very obsessed with food, but we've always been more of the back to the basics. You grow it, you slaughter it, you can it, you preserve it, and that sort of thing. So, like, this foodie thing has been a normal process of our life.
So you were there before it was cool, is what you're saying. You've been doing this with your family, and it's been something that you have made a part of your family culture, it sounds like, Jonna.
Exactly, exactly. And, like, with the posting of things and the posting of recipes, I'm thinking, you know, a lot of people are just miss those days where you're canning your tomatoes, as I am doing now. You call your lady friend saying, hey, what are you making for dinner tonight? I need some ideas, you know? Oh, you know, and you pull up a jar of this, or back then people would, oh, I, you know, my husband went out and shot some squirrels. We're having that tonight. I never did that, but.
All right, Jonna, thank you for that. And what about that, Eve? Is that something that you could credit an earlier generation with, maybe the back to the landers who really did want to be involved in their food from the beginning to the end?
Well, I think that there are definitely people in the older generation who have obviously always been invested in what they eat. And if you look back to the 1970s, there was a DDT scare, and that's when we had the macrobiotic movement and then the vegetarian movement. What's unique about today is just how many people are involved in the foodie movement. So it's not just people that are on the fringes. It's really the masses that are participating. And in terms of taking photos of your food, one of the more interesting things that I found is actually going back to the topic of sensory stimulation. So we are a generation that in many ways is sensory deprived. And through reading various studies, found that even looking at pictures of food or reading words that are associated with food, our gustatory and olfactory cortexes are stimulated. So that's still a way for us to experience some other form of sensory stimulation, even if we can't go slaughter our dinner or dig up our dinner.
Jonna, thanks a lot for that call. We're going to go next to Evelyn in Kenosha. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi.
What do you think?
Hi, this is Evelyn.
Sure. What is your comment about food?
I just wanted to say that a lot of people my generation, when we do something together, usually involves some form of food or an event or an activity that revolves around food, whether we're spending time with our family members or whether we're actually going out with our friends. Food is a huge part of our life, and it's a way, like even cooking at home is a way for us to connect with our loved ones, spend time together with them.
Great. Well, thank you for that comment. Is that pretty common, Eve? Is that what you're seeing, that for this generation? It's a gathering point that's a part of a lot of things.
Exactly. So the role of food really is as a community movement. So, you know, we're taking time to actually spend time face-to-face with people. We're not G-chatting them. We want to actually see them and talk to them in person. You're also seeing that show up in the restaurant scene with share plates and community tables. People really want to spend time with other people in person. So, you know, it's great to hear that it's happening and true in other situations.
All right. Thanks a lot, Evelyn. Next to Becca in Oak Mound. Hi, Becca.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to bring my voice to this conversation. I developed severe food allergies when I was in middle school. And as a millennial, they found that we've been developing a lot of different things. I'm allergic to BHT, BHA, MSG, different specific food colors, all of that. And I had to restrict my diet a lot when I was younger, and it's become easier and easier for me because of this foodie movement. I find that a lot of my friends are now taking those same things out and going with me to the grocery store and going with me to see what I'm buying. And I'm also a vegetable gardener, and I do my own canning and stuff. And what I've been finding is that the more that I share that with my friends, the more that they're saying, oh, you know, maybe this is affecting me in a community sense, or maybe it actually is making me feel better.
Interesting. Becca, thank you. Is that something that's passed around, that kind of sort of food wisdom and people learning from one another's experiences, whether it's eliminating something or adding something, Eve?
For sure. And I think that a lot of these trends are picking up because of friends trying something new, you know, whether that's restricting something, or maybe that's a new food, or maybe it's a new cooking technique. And I think that what you're touching on is super important, which is also that the food that we were raised with was highly processed, and people don't really know, you know, how exactly it's made. And today you're seeing a call for transparency, for simplicity, for processed foods that are, you know, a little bit more simple, that we can really understand what's in it, because, you know, we don't really understand still what the effects are of things, you know, that were common in the foods that we were raised with.
Now, I want to talk to you about something that you say in your book that could be a little controversial among some people. You say that we should just accept the fact that millennials are narcissistic. And if you want millennials to get beyond the photography of food and the obsession of food into the food policy stuff that advances to the greater good and goes out into humanity as a whole, that we need to accept that and appeal to that narcissism and use that narcissism. What do you think about that? Is that fair? Are millennials giving you any pushback about saying that, yes, millennials are narcissistic, but that's what we have to go with?
I mean, it's really funny. I haven't had anyone say to me yet, like, that's completely wrong, I disagree with you. And there's plenty of things that people can disagree with me on, but that's not one of them so far. You know, I went into this really thinking, are we so bad? If you read about millennials, you'll see a lot of people lamenting that we're lazy and, you know, we're self-obsessed. And I think the reality of the situation is that we grew up in this world where we need to be concerned about self-branding all the time. And we need to brand ourselves differently on Facebook than we do on LinkedIn, than we do on OkCupid. The way that we present ourselves is essential for getting a job or getting a date or sharing things with friends. And so we've become really great self-branders. And I think that that's a huge element of why the food movement has taken off in the way that it has, because, again, we're using food as a new identifier, as a new form of social currency. I think that the idea that we can somehow make millennials less narcissistic and more altruistic is just not terribly realistic. So the question becomes, you know, how do you play into millennial wants and needs in order to achieve a greater good? And to me, that's by making things like organic a desirable brand to associate with. So the question becomes, what's the next thing that the food movement needs to achieve, and how can we make that a desirable part of the millennial brand?
As you said, you talked to some of the big luminaries in the world of food, like Michael Pollan. Did he have any ideas for making that transition?
You know, we had an interesting conversation around it. I don't know that he had any direct recommendations, but what I found was most interesting is he talked to me about the gay rights movement. And the fact that the gay rights movement is incredibly, it's multifaceted, and as is the food rights movement. So people are interested in it for a lot of different reasons. And what he said is that it was not a given that gay marriage would be the number one issue for the gay rights movement, that that needed to be decided upon, and that the community needed to gather around that one idea and fight for that first, and then move on to other things. And as we can see, they've been incredibly successful. So the question now becomes, what is the key agenda item for the food movement that people can coalesce around? And that's still to be determined. I would very much like to see it be food waste. And I do think that there are several signs that that is the next issue. It's tangible. It's something people can take pictures of. It's something that can end up on Pinterest. And that can have a really serious and significant impact on the agricultural economy, and food distribution systems and food accessibility. So I'm hoping that that's where things go, but we'll have to wait and see.
And you've actually started a project dealing with food waste, right?
Well, I developed a hashtag that I'm really hoping that people will participate in. So I made a goal for myself about a year ago to only throw out one plastic bag's worth of garbage. So one plastic bag, meaning like the type of bag that you would get from the 7-Eleven. So not your big garbage bag. Everything else that you consume should be either recyclable or compostable. And I am seeing some pickup in people saying, you know, I've been doing this forever, or people taking on the challenge. So it's hashtag waste less challenge. You can participate on Twitter. Post your pictures. If you are you're saving your food scraps and using it for food stock, or you've decided that you're going to buy a whole chicken and utilize the innards to cook up something great or create a pate. I really want this to become a movement of learning how to use whole animals, whole plants, and limiting the amount of waste that we're creating.
Eve, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
That was Eve Turow, author of a new book called A Taste of Generation Yum, discussing the growing popularity of food and how our obsession is shaping how we eat.